So what did you guys think of that whole thing that Bob talked about at the beginning?
Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. I'd have to go back for me and re-listen to it being laid out because it dare I say, got a bit confusing of who was where and what was where and the sequence of events. Because
yeah.
It was like all of a sudden you became JW or JW went off somewhere and I don't know, I just got...
No, what happened was Bob was must have been having a session with Ion, and then Ion sort of took Bob on a journey and was describing the whole scene. And then while that was happening was probably when Angela and I were actually on the set. Or it might have even been before, but, you know, how can you really tell? And
right.
Then we were on the set for probably a good hour, just gawking and whatever, and watching and interacting with some of the crew when they were between the shooting. And then when we got home, it was probably only about 30 minutes before I went on and posted it on Dukes. But it was funny because we were walking down the street and we saw a film crew up ahead. And in my head, whenever I see a film crew, I'm thinking, I don't know where it is. Whenever I see a film crew, I'm always thinking, oh, I wonder if it's going to be Fringe this time. Because I've never knowingly crossed the Fringe set in my travels around Vancouver. So this time it was the same thing. I'm walking, I'm like, oh, I wonder if this is Fringe. And then we got closer, and I'm like, oh, no, it doesn't look like it will be Fringe. And then as we were coming to the end of the set, I grazed shoulders with John Noble. He was just like he was standing under a tree that was on the sidewalk, and he was kind of hunched, leaning up against the tree between shots. And like my shoulder rubbed up against his shoulder, and I looked over and from so close up, I'm like, holy shit, it's Walter. And he's right there. And then a couple of seconds later, Angela and I stopped and realized where we were, and then we were just across the alleyway, and we turned and we sort of watched them, and then Walter walked around the alleyway and went and sat down in one of those director's chairs, and then Peter came around right after, sat in the other director's chair, and they were sitting there, they must have been talking about the next scene or something, and Walter was sitting there having a smoke. Yeah, and Angela made a point of saying, like noticing that when we actually went on the other side of the street to get a different angle, at one point, Walter was staring right at Angela
for ages.
It was really weird. It was like he was looking into the darkness to see who was there.
And it was Bob.
And that would have been parallel to when Bob mentioned, hey, is that Angela? Yeah. I hope Chad's here so he can translate.
It's like body hijacking.
Are you guys still there?
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm just like holy crap.
ultimate psychosis, body hijacking. You know, it's funny. Because two paradas are crossing each other. Two worlds are crossing, and then we're using a set of avatars to communicate through, and then jumping in and out between them. So it's like body hacking. Quite interesting because everything right here.
So I think what she's saying is that the avatars in this case would have been like the actors on the set.
Yeah.
Walter and Peter. They would have been avatars of the psychodrama going on with Angela, Bob, and JW at that point.
And the translation.
Yeah. But I remember saying like, because I've seen Bob in person, so I remember looking at Walt and going, my God, does he ever look like Bob? He looks like a version of Bob that would be just more haggard, with a little bit extra weight on him, but he's got the same kind of hair, is similar, and like, yeah, it's just
facial features and all of that.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing, too, was that, like I said, Peter was wearing the exact jacket that I was wearing.
Well, and was wearing this exact jacket that JW was wearing.
Yeah.
And how does that happen?
Well, I don't know, because apparently when I go to JW's, I don't bring clothes anyway, so it's not like I left my jacket at his house.
But isn't that just one of those another anomalies that sync up to have this, I don't know, this.
Yeah, but the thing about this anomaly is
flow from the parallel world that is, you know, right next to the one that you're in. Because you guys did you think about Bob and JW?
Well,
obviously you did,
Bob,
because
we
they talk about Fringe all the time.
Yeah, we were talking about Bob for half the time we were on the set. Because first of all, I couldn't get over how much John Noble looks like Bob in person, or at least not the character of Walter, the way they've done his makeup and everything. Whatever that representation of Walter is, really looks like a lot like Bob, a haggard or sluggish version of Bob. So we're talking about that, and talking about, you know, how this Bob would say that was Xenocrinus. That would be the android meme talking back to him, imitating him. So that was the subject of our conversation half the time. And then...
because the way that I heard it on Cash Flow was that JW was watching TV or hanging out, whatever, and called Bob, or then they just showed up in this place in Canada. They really didn't know where it was, and Bob says, well, you're always talking about food, so we should go do some ice cream then, do some food, I feel like, and ended up in Patty's Malt Shop.
Well, here's the funny thing. When I walked by, the first thing I noticed wasn't, before I knew it was the Fringe set, on the glass, normally there's like a cafe there, but they rebranded it for the show. And they took off whatever sign was on the glass, and they put Peggy's Malt Shop over it in the like decals. And when I saw Peggy's Malt Shop, the first thing that came to my mind was, I think Bob mentioned he used to hang out in a place called Peggy's Malt Shop or Peggy's Luncheon or something when he was in Nova Scotia. So that's the first thing I thought of when I saw the movie set. I thought, Peggy's Malt Shop, did I read that in Bob's diaries or something? And then, you know, that's when I stumbled up the sidewalk and bumped into John Noble. So
and who
it was funny,
John
I did
Noble?
Hit the back first and then bumped into the Fringe people.
And who is John Noble?
The actor that plays Walter.
Okay. I've watched one episode. Maybe I'll watch a few more. I don't know.
Well, Tina, it's the only TV show that I've watched like in the last 10 years, really.
Yeah. I mean, I watch TV here and there, you know, a baseball game. on the weekend, football's on because my partner, John, likes to watch football. And, you know, we watch concerts on Saturday night. You know, Austin City Limits comes up. And another show after that, Bluegrass before Austin City. So it's kind of, we go to live concerts on Saturday nights.
Oh, I just thought of one more thing. You know how at the beginning of the Cash Flow, when Bob was explaining the whole thing, he mentioned that Ion had said that Carolyn was there as a blonde. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, if you don't remember now, when you listen back to the archive, just make a note of this. So when Angela and I were right next to the set before we crossed the street to get a different angle, we were literally like 10 feet away from the edge of where they're filming. And this girl was standing facing Walter with her back to us.
In a direct line.
And she had blonde hair and it was in a ponytail. And I said, oh, that's Olivia. That's the character that normally plays Olivia. Like, she's the star of the show, pretty much. And that's what we kept thinking. And then later on, I thought, she's a little bit short to be Olivia. Like, she seems, like, much shorter than Walter and Peter. And then later on, I realized that it was a double, a stand-in for Olivia. Sometimes they'll use a stand-in when there's off-camera dialogue. So if Olivia is not actually going to be on camera, but Walter would be talking to her, they'll just use a stand-in so that the Olivia actor doesn't actually have to come down and film. So that character...
That was Carolyn.
Well, Bob has said before that the Olivia character, he equates with Carolyn.
Yeah, I have heard that.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't heard that? Sorry. Okay.
No, I've heard him make that comment.
Oh, you have heard? Okay.
Yeah. On Tailgate. And maybe Cash Flow.
The other interesting thing. There was a double as well. There was also a double for Peter because there was this one guy and I kept watching. Like there was a big crowd on the set and I would follow Peter with my eye and then he would kind of go out of sight. And then I would follow this other, I kept following Peter with my eye. But then after a while I realized I was following someone else with my eye. And that was a double for Peter's character, like a stand-in.
Mm-hmm.
When they just do blocking before they actually do the action. The guy was about, he was a bit taller than Peter, and he was wearing sort of similar outfit and had a similar haircut and all that. But I kept getting distracted by the double of Peter, which is interesting if you think about how first Peter was JW, and then it was like I tapped in and took over that avatar. So I think it's interesting because it brings a new dynamic into the whole thing of parallels and, like, avatars combined. And how being on the edge, like, the stuff we talk about here in Tailgate and Cashflow and our private readings and stuff, is it's leading edge. And if we're out there shedding light on the unknown, which is becoming known, you know, that's got to resonate in a way that maybe gets sort of funneled into what happens out there with people who make these shows and things. It almost becomes like maybe our act of expanding the universe is the resonance of it is actually shaping people who are open to inspiration.